There is a point in life when holding on no longer serves strength, when effort itself becomes resistance, and resistance becomes exhaustion. We reach it quietly, not in collapse, but in recognition. The Stoics called this recognition alignment. The moment you stop fighting the current and begin to move with it. Letting go is not surrender. It is the reorientation of force. It is the act of removing what no longer contributes to direction. The modern world confuses control with tension. We cling to ideas, relationships, ambitions, and identities long after they have ceased to serve growth. We keep them because they make us feel secure, because loss feels like failure, because stillness feels like absence. But the truth is simpler. You cannot master what you will not release. Every attachment that remains unexamined becomes a quiet chain. Every chain weakens the movement of will. To master the art of letting go is to return to clarity, to strip life of distortion until only what is essential remains. It is a practice of perception before it is a practice of emotion. The Stoic does not wait for peace to appear. He builds it by removing interference. He learns to observe without possession, to act without demand, to hold without clinging. The more he releases, the more deliberate his motion becomes. Letting go begins in the mind. It starts with understanding that no thought, no memory, no opinion is permanent. The mind generates and releases endlessly. Yet we resist this natural rhythm. We replay conversations, defend positions, and preserve pain as proof of meaning. The Stoic trains against this inertia. He learns that clarity requires subtraction, that the mind must be emptied often to remain capable of precision. We live in a time that rewards attachment, constant engagement, constant commentary, constant accumulation. To let go in this world is to move against its current. It is to choose restraint in an age of reaction, silence in an age of noise, and simplicity in an age of excess. This choice is not weakness, it is sovereignty. It is the declaration that your attention belongs to you. The art of letting go is the foundation of all mastery. Without it, discipline decays into control, focus turns into fixation, and strength becomes strain. The Stoic learns to hold lightly, to build systems that can adapt, to love without ownership, to succeed without possession. He moves through life cleanly, without residue, leaving order behind him wherever he stands. This lecture is a study of that clarity, a guide through the process of release, mental, emotional, and practical. It is not about detachment from life, but refinement of relationship to it. Letting go does not diminish the world, it sharpens it. It allows you to see reality as it is, to act without confusion, and to remain calm while everything else changes shape. You will learn to separate control from tension, involvement from attachment, care from dependence. You will learn that freedom is not found in avoidance, but in precise engagement. And you will learn that letting go, when practiced with discipline, is the highest expression of strength, a strength that holds nothing, yet loses nothing. Because what is yours in truth can never be taken, and what can be taken was never yours to begin with. Letting go is not a weakness. It is a precision act of strength. To release something consciously requires more control than holding on blindly. Most people carry their pain as proof of effort. They confuse attachment with loyalty and endurance with progress. They cling to what has already passed because the silence that follows frightens them. But silence is where clarity begins. The modern world teaches accumulation. Accumulation of opinions, connections, possessions, and memories. The result is noise, constant pressure without form. A mind crowded by everything loses the ability to act cleanly, Stoicism cuts through that noise. It teaches subtraction. It shows that mastery is not built by adding more, but by removing what weakens the structure. To let go is to recognize that control is selective. You do not control the outcomes, the perceptions of others, or the permanence of anything external. You control the direction of your attention, the posture of your mind, and the consistency of your actions. Detachment begins there, at the point where attention is reclaimed from chaos. The Stoic does not detach because he is cold. He detaches because focus demands it. He knows that attention scattered across what cannot be changed is a form of waste. Every complaint, every fixation, every resentment is an energy leak. The discipline of letting go is the act of sealing those leaks until only purposeful motion remains. Life constantly changes form. What once felt stable will shift. The people you depend on will move away. The identity you built around past achievements will fade. If you resist this natural process, you suffer. If you adapt, you evolve. The Stoic learns to stand still in motion, to remain unbroken while everything around him rearranges itself. To master letting go, you begin with awareness. You notice what anchors your emotions to the past. You notice what pulls your attention toward what you cannot command. Awareness itself is liberation. When you see the mechanism of attachment, it loses its authority. It becomes a habit that can be trained out of you through deliberate exposure to reality as it is. You cannot command serenity through willpower alone. It must be built through understanding. The Stoic examines the nature of loss, of change, of desire, until they reveal their neutral form. He learns that nothing external has intrinsic power over him. Events occur. Interpretations give them weight. The act of letting go is the act of removing interpretation and returning to observation. This practice is not passive. It is the active removal of distortion. It is the constant refinement of perspective until only truth remains. To let go is to see clearly that nothing was ever truly yours to begin with. Not possessions, not people, not status. You were a temporary custodian of transient forms. What leaves was never guaranteed to stay. Letting go becomes strength when it is done without bitterness. To release without resentment is to prove that you govern your inner world. This posture is not indifference. It is composure. It is the refusal to fight reality. It is the deliberate choice to remain grounded while others exhaust themselves trying to hold the impossible together. Most people equate attachment with care, but true care is not control. You can love something and still release it. You can honor the past without living inside it. You can act with full commitment and then step away cleanly when the moment ends. That is Stoic detachment. Involvement without possession. There is a rhythm to life that cannot be forced. When you align with it, resistance falls away. Letting go is how you align. It is the clearing of mental space for direction to emerge. Those who cannot let go remain crowded with ghosts, the words of others, the weight of regret, the noise of imagined futures. The Stoic seeks silence, not absence. Silence allows him to move with precision. Every act of letting go sharpens discipline. It teaches you that you can live without what you once thought essential. This is how freedom is learned, not by escape, but by mastery of attachment. To be free is not to own everything. It is to depend on nothing that can be taken away. The world changes faster than the mind can sometimes comprehend. Technology amplifies distraction. Opinions shift daily. The economy rises and collapses. Status appears and vanishes. If you build identity on what fluctuates, you will suffer every fluctuation. The Stoic builds identity on internal command. on principles that cannot be bought, sold, or cancelled. Letting go is not a single act. It is a lifestyle. It is practiced in small, consistent refusals to cling. You refuse to argue when it no longer serves purpose. You refuse to replay old scenarios that teach nothing new. You refuse to define yourself by outdated stories. In each refusal, strength gathers. To live with detachment is to hold everything lightly. You engage with intensity, but release without hesitation. You accept that endings are part of the structure of reality. When something ends, you bow to it. You let it close cleanly. You do not chase what has already turned its back to you. You face forward with clarity and discipline. The Stoic mind does not collapse under loss because it never relied on permanence. It understands that everything it touches is temporary. Therefore, it touches with awareness. It loves without ownership. It works without obsession. It gives without expectation. This is the calm strength that comes from letting go, a strength immune to external fluctuation. Detachment is not withdrawal. It is the optimization of effort. You do not remove yourself from life. You refine your relationship to it. You stop reacting. You start responding. You act from principle, not emotion. You maintain your standard, whether the world applauds or rejects you. Those who master letting go become stable centers in a moving world. Their presence calms others. Their words carry weight because they come from a place untouched by desperation. They no longer chase control because they embody it. Their peace is not a pause, it is precision in motion. Letting go is an act of faith. Faith in your ability to rebuild, to adapt, to remain whole after loss. It proves that what defines you is internal. What leaves does not take your strength with it. What ends does not end you. You learn to let go when you learn to trust your own capacity. You learn that the self that endures is not built on possession or recognition, but on discipline and clarity. The Stoic accepts impermanence because he has built himself to withstand it. He has trained to remain whole when everything else changes form. Letting go is not about erasing emotion. It is about regulating its influence. You feel what must be felt, but you do not let it hijack direction. You process pain without making it identity. You allow disappointment to pass through you like a wave through stone. The structure remains. The emotion dissipates. Each day offers a new test of detachment, a small reminder that control is selective. The call left unanswered, the opportunity that fades, the plan that breaks apart. Each is a chance to practice the art, to observe, to breathe, to act only where action is effective. The rest is released. Letting go is the foundation of composure. Without it, discipline becomes rigidity. With it, discipline becomes flow. A Stoic moves through life cleanly, never stuck in what was, never lost in what could be. His strength is his ability to remain present while detached, to act without anxiety, to endure without complaint. You do not lose power when you let go. You reclaim it. You stop giving it to circumstances. You stop renting your peace to external conditions. You bring it back to the only space it belongs, within the boundaries of your own control. Letting go is mastery in its purest form. It is the still hand that releases the rope when the pull serves no purpose. It is the quiet mind that sees no value in resistance. It is the disciplined soul that trusts reality to unfold without interference. Attachment begins as an interpretation. The mind labels something as essential and then defends that label with emotion. Each defense becomes a thread of identity until the attachment is no longer seen as separate from the self. The Stoic understands this pattern and interrupts it at the point of recognition. When thought and emotion fuse, a cycle begins. Thought produces feeling. Feeling reinforces thought, and the mind becomes enclosed within its own echo. Detachment starts when observation replaces fusion. You watch the process instead of being the process. You notice how a thought tries to anchor itself, how an emotion tries to justify its presence, how both depend on repetition to survive. Every attachment has a psychological trigger beneath it: fear of loss, desire for validation, resistance to change. The Stoic examines each without judgment. He studies how the mind resists the unknown. He sees how it builds stories to avoid silence. Letting go means cutting through those stories until only the raw experience remains. The emotion without narrative. The sensation without explanation. When the narrative collapses, the emotion loses fuel. It still exists, but it passes through faster, like wind through open space. The body learns that it can experience discomfort without defining itself by it. That recognition rewires the system. You stop clinging because there is nothing left to defend. Detachment does not numb you. It reorganizes you. The emotional core remains, but it becomes transparent. Feelings are allowed to arise and dissolve naturally. Control is exercised not through suppression, but through clean awareness. The Stoic stands in the center of his reactions, watching them move like weather, real, vivid, temporary. A disciplined mind practices this daily. Each irritation, disappointment, or moment of praise becomes a laboratory. The question is simple: does this strengthen or weaken control? If it weakens it, release follows. In time, the nervous system adapts. You become fluent in letting go because your body learns that safety exists without possession. Every repetition of detachment builds neurological distance between stimulus and response. The gap becomes clarity. In that gap lies freedom, the ability to act without being driven by automatic reaction. The Stoic cultivates that space until it defines his way of being. What once triggered him now informs him. What once consumed him now instructs him. Letting go is not a rejection of feeling, it is the refinement of perception. You begin to sense the first impulse of grasping, the tightening of thought around what it wants to keep. In that instant, awareness intervenes. You breathe, observe, and loosen the grip. You realize that wanting is attention, and release is relief. The process becomes a rhythm: recognition, release, return. Recognition of attachment, release of tension, return to presence. Each cycle strengthens awareness until it becomes instinctive. You move through the world without leaving fragments of yourself in every encounter. The mind stays whole. The energy remains centralized. Detachment must live in practice, or it dies in theory. A Stoic begins with what surrounds him. The daily irritations, the digital noise, the emotional demands of others. Each is a test of control. Begin small. When interrupted, do not react. When offended, do not justify. When praised, do not over-identify. These are not rules, but repetitions. Each repetition forms the reflex of calm execution. Philosophy gives shape to this practice. Epictetus taught that events do not disturb us, only our judgments about them. In modern life, the same truth applies. The screen, the schedule, the social noise are neutral. Interpretation turns them into chaos. The disciplined mind filters constantly: what belongs to me, what does not. This is the practical gatekeeping of peace. Letting go becomes a muscle trained through friction. To delay response when provoked, to withhold opinion until clarity returns, to detach from outcomes while remaining committed to effort. These are the micro-exercises of sovereignty. You are teaching your mind that emotion does not command you, principle does. Each morning becomes a reset. A stoic grounds himself before the day can take him. He names what he can control, and he releases the rest. Throughout the day, he checks his posture of mind, correcting drift when attention leans toward frustration or distraction. In the evening, he reflects without judgment, observing patterns as data, not identity. This rhythm maintains internal order. Discipline without philosophy becomes mechanical. Philosophy without discipline becomes vapor. Their fusion is mastery. Thought sharpens action. Action verifies thought. Together, they form the living Stoic, one who does not discuss peace, but embodies it while moving through noise. To live this way is to strip life of drama and fill it with direction. Detachment in practice looks like steadiness under chaos, efficiency under stress, clarity under emotion. It is to be firm in purpose while fluid in method. This balance turns daily life into training. Every encounter, every irritation, every silence, a deliberate arena for composure. This fusion of philosophy and discipline does not promise ease. It promises control. You will still feel the world, but it will no longer dictate your internal state. You will still act with passion, but your passion will be governed by principle. This is the Stoic way, deliberate, strong, unwavering in calm. Endurance begins when comfort ends. The body weakens first, then the mind negotiates, and finally the will is tested. Loss sharpens this sequence. It exposes every illusion of stability, every expectation of fairness. In that exposure, endurance is born. The Stoic does not seek suffering, but he welcomes its lessons. Pain is not a punishment. It is proof of participation. When life removes something vital, a person, a dream, a certainty, the initial collapse is natural. Grief arrives uninvited. The Stoic does not suppress it. He allows the feeling to move through, but he refuses to let it rule his conduct. Endurance is not the absence of pain. It is composure inside pain. To stay upright in loss is to prove mastery of alignment between reason and emotion. Advanced mastery begins when endurance becomes quiet. Early strength resists. Mature strength accepts. The Stoic learns to carry loss without dramatizing it, to move forward without demanding closure. He understands that every loss refines identity, burning away what depended on what is gone. What remains is structure, lean, strong, unbreakable. Endurance under loss is a purification process. It removes illusions one by one until only truth stands. You realize that happiness built on possession collapses, that meaning built on validation dissolves. The only stable foundation is character, the discipline to remain composed while the world reshapes itself around you. To endure with grace is to stop expecting comfort. Expect discipline instead. Expect testing. Expect impermanence. When these expectations replace desire, peace returns. Life still hurts, but it no longer surprises. You become unshockable. The Stoic endures not because he is immune to pain, but because he no longer interprets pain as injustice. Loss teaches balance. It forces detachment from illusion. When you lose something deeply tied to identity, you learn what cannot be taken: integrity, clarity, effort. The Stoic invests in those alone. What is external may leave. What is internal endures. This separation defines mastery. The endurance of a Stoic is not cold denial. It is precision in suffering. He suffers consciously, without collapse, without retreat into despair. He lets pain refine perspective. He studies it until it becomes knowledge. Pain teaches him scale, what truly matters, what never did. Through it, he becomes lighter, faster, calmer. When you have endured enough loss, something shifts. The fear of losing fades. You begin to move through life without hesitation. You give more freely. You speak more clearly. You act without needing security. You have already proven survival. That proof becomes your foundation. Endurance under loss builds a different kind of freedom, the ability to remain unbroken while everything else changes shape. To endure is to stay aligned when life unravels. To lose and still act with principle is the final test of Stoic discipline. It is strength distilled to its purest form, calm under collapse. Rebuilding after loss begins in silence. The noise fades, the world pauses, and what remains is the empty ground of truth. The Stoic stands there, stripped of illusion, and begins again without hesitation. He knows that recovery is not about replacing what was lost. It is about reconstructing who commands the space that remains. The first act of rebuilding is orientation. The mind must face forward. There is no value in circling what has already ended. Direction returns when attention returns to the present. Each breath becomes construction, each small act a brick in the architecture of renewal. Progress is no longer measured by speed, but by consistency. Rebuilding demands simplicity. Complexity belongs to chaos. The Stoic clears excess, discards distraction, and reduces life to its essential principles. Wake early. Train the body. Still the mind. Speak only with precision. Act only with intent. This minimalism is not deprivation. It is control redefined. When discipline is restored, structure follows. The Stoic rebuilds habits like scaffolding, rising piece by piece. Morning routines anchor focus. Physical labor grounds presence. Reflection restores judgment. The process is repetitive by design. Repetition transforms fragility into stability. The Stoic does not chase meaning. He creates order. Order gives meaning shape. Through order, momentum is born again. He rebuilds not to return to what was, but to rise into what must now exist. Every movement forward is proof that strength remains. Every act of calm is an act of defiance against despair. Rebuilding is not loud. It happens beneath the surface where silence meets endurance. Each day is quiet reconstruction, a steady return to balance. You do not wait for inspiration. You work through absence. You replace what was lost, not with substitutes, but with strength. In rebuilding, gratitude returns. Not the soft gratitude of comfort, but the hard gratitude of survival. You begin to appreciate what endures after loss. The still mind, the disciplined will, the capacity to act without dependence. These are the true possessions of a Stoic life. To rebuild is to declare sovereignty again. You claim your mind, your time, your focus. You become your own foundation. Nothing external validates your progress, because progress itself becomes internal, silent, deliberate, undeniable. The Stoic does not wait for peace. He constructs it. He does not wish for stability. He becomes it. Through rebuilding, loss transforms into proof of resilience. The man who endures becomes the man who creates. And creation born from endurance carries the calm authority of one who has already survived the storm. After the rebuilding, silence deepens. The Stoic faces the void, the space left when attachment dissolves and every illusion has been burned away. It is not emptiness to be feared, but the raw canvas of control. The untrained mind flees this silence, rushing to fill it with noise, distraction, or false meaning. The disciplined mind remains. He stands before the void and breathes. The void is not absence. It is pure potential stripped of attachment. It is the untouched field from which will is born. When a man detaches completely, he does not vanish. He becomes the space in which choice reappears. To look into that emptiness without panic is to meet yourself without ornament or illusion. The Stoic understands this encounter. He knows that what most call meaning is often dependency disguised as purpose. When those dependencies fall away, he remains. The first stage of the void is disorientation. Identity unravels. The mind searches for familiar ground and finds none. This is the threshold that breaks the average man. The Stoic does not retreat. He observes. He studies the silence until it reveals shape. Every fear that surfaces in the void is a reflection of untrained will. To endure it without reaction is to reclaim power that was once fragmented across false pursuits. In the void, the will learns to operate without external fuel. There is no applause, no validation, no noise of affirmation, only the self, stripped to essence. The Stoic begins to build again, but this time, the construction is internal. He lays foundations of principle, beams of reason, walls of restraint. His architecture rises from discipline, not desire. Each decision becomes a stone placed with precision. This phase is the rebirth of command. The void tests what remains when all comforts vanish. It demands purity of intent. Every impulse that once sought escape must now become energy for creation. The Stoic redirects the same intensity once wasted on attachment toward mastery of self. He no longer asks what he wants, but what aligns with principle. From this silence, structure begins to form. Purpose returns, not as longing, but as orientation. The Stoic's meaning is chosen, not inherited. He does not chase passion. He builds it through repetition. He understands that purpose is not discovered. It is engineered through focus. What most call fate is the result of unbroken attention. In rebuilding from the void, the Stoic turns detachment into design. He shapes routine into art, labor into meditation, simplicity into order. He understands that mastery is repetition performed without resentment. There is no grand revelation, only the steady assertion of will over chaos. When meaning is built rather than found, life becomes an act of authorship. The Stoic writes himself daily through action. His days are lines of precision, his habits paragraphs of order, his existence a manuscript of calm power. He needs no witness. The discipline itself becomes both audience and reward. As the void transforms into structure, something new appears, serenity without fragility. The Stoic's calm is no longer dependent on outcome or belonging. It is self-generated, maintained by clarity and repetition. Loss no longer threatens it, because it was built from loss. When the will is reborn through emptiness, motion returns, clean and unforced. The Stoic walks through life with no hesitation, no fear of silence. He carries within him the proof that nothing external is required for peace. His composure is no longer practiced, it is nature refined. The void, once feared, becomes sacred ground, the birthplace of all control. From it, the Stoic builds a life that cannot be shaken because it was first built from nothing. Meaning is not given, it is created through discipline. The Stoic learns that purpose is not a discovery waiting to be unearthed, but a construct shaped by repetition and principle. He knows that meaning loses strength when built on emotion, but becomes immovable when forged through consistent will. To create meaning is to assign value to what you choose to master. The disciplined will does not wait for passion to ignite. It manufactures direction through action. Each deliberate task becomes an act of authorship. The Stoic defines meaning in movement, in effort refined to precision. The smallest act, waking with intent, maintaining order, completing what was begun, becomes sacred when performed with full awareness. These moments build the architecture of significance. Meaning built through discipline is immune to fluctuation. It does not collapse when external approval disappears, because it is rooted in internal consistency. The Stoic understands that control of will is control of meaning. When the world changes, his foundation remains untouched. He does not depend on clarity from others. He generates clarity from within. To create meaning through disciplined will is to establish alignment between principle and motion. The Stoic moves with purpose, not because he feels inspired, but because his structure demands it. Emotion becomes secondary to rhythm. The rhythm itself is power, a steady heartbeat of action, unshaken by mood or circumstance. The world seeks constant stimulation. The Stoic seeks order. He understands that depth cannot exist without direction. Every repetition of disciplined effort strengthens that depth, turning routine into philosophy. Through mastery of small acts, he builds a grand design that stands against the volatility of life. Meaning becomes cumulative. Each disciplined day adds to the weight of purpose. The Stoic knows that one act done with full attention outweighs 1,000 half-hearted gestures. His life is built on deliberate precision, on the refusal to move without clarity, and the discipline to move when clarity is present. Creation through will requires endurance. There will be days when silence feels heavy, when motion seems meaningless. The Stoic accepts this weight as part of the structure. He knows that repetition without reward builds strength that no comfort can replace. He moves not for pleasure, but for integrity. His discipline becomes devotion. Through this devotion, the Stoic transcends dependency. He no longer needs external meaning because he has learned to construct it. His peace does not rely on result, only on execution. His purpose does not depend on validation, only on alignment. Each action becomes both a practice and a statement, the declaration that meaning belongs to those who create it. To live this way is to move beyond waiting. The Stoic does not seek a sign, nor does he rely on inspiration. He acts. Through action, he creates evidence of will. Through repetition, he converts evidence into strength. Through discipline, he converts strength into meaning. It is an unbroken sequence of creation, silent, enduring, complete. This is the art of disciplined meaning, to build a life that needs no permission to exist. The Stoic's will becomes the forge. Every act is a strike of refinement. Every day is construction. Every moment is proof that nothing external is required for purpose to burn steady and clean. When discipline matures, it dissolves into presence. What was once deliberate becomes instinctive. Effort turns to motion. Motion turns to stillness in action. The Stoic no longer forces control. He embodies it. His discipline has transformed into a quiet gravity that orders everything it touches. He moves with the calm certainty of one who no longer separates doing from being. This is transcendence through discipline, the state where mastery ceases to demand attention. The Stoic has practiced so long, so cleanly, that control has become nature. His habits no longer feel like structure, they feel like freedom. His restraint no longer feels like limitation, it feels like precision. He does not think of virtue, he lives it without friction. True mastery arrives when intention and action merge. The gap between thought and movement disappears. The Stoic's calm no longer depends on correction, because correction is unnecessary. His presence itself is alignment. To see him act is to see philosophy move through flesh. In this state, discipline expands beyond self. It becomes creative force. The Stoic begins to shape his surroundings without command. His order radiates. People sense steadiness in his silence, conviction in his restraint. His peace becomes contagious. his composure persuasive without effort. This is power refined to stillness. The disciplined man no longer competes with chaos, he arranges it. His will has become a field of direction, invisible yet undeniable. Where others struggle to impose control, he simply holds it by existing. This is not arrogance, but alignment, the result of years of quiet repetition forged into instinct. Transcendence is not escape. It is the moment when control requires no resistance. The Stoic moves through the world as if it were an extension of his own rhythm. Nothing feels external. Every event, every demand, every silence fits within his inner cadence. He acts without hesitation because every act flows from the same source. The disciplined will refine beyond effort. At this level, mastery becomes creation. The Stoic no longer builds structure. He becomes the structure. He no longer seeks to adapt. The world adapts around his steadiness. His stillness generates order. His composure generates motion. He does not react, and yet everything around him begins to align. This is how calm becomes command. Such mastery is not visible in noise or spectacle. It reveals itself in the way he moves through difficulty, the way he speaks without urgency, the way he chooses simplicity when others rush to complexity. His silence carries meaning, because it has been earned through control. His presence steadies others because it radiates proof. Proof that peace can exist in motion. This is where discipline ends and transcendence begins. The Stoic no longer trains himself to be calm. Calmness has become his language. He no longer disciplines his actions. Discipline itself acts through him. His being has merged with principle. He is no longer trying to master life. He has become mastery moving through it. Stillness under pressure is the truest measure of mastery. The Stoic does not meet adversity with resistance. He absorbs it and converts it into structure. Where others see threat, he sees design material. Each hardship becomes instruction. Each failure becomes data. Each loss becomes refinement. He treats difficulty as a craftsman treats raw material, shaping it into form without anger or despair. The world presses against him, and he uses its weight to strengthen alignment. His response is never to escape pressure, but to contain it, redirect it, and let it fuel precision. The greater the friction, the cleaner his motion becomes. His calm is not avoidance, but conversion. The ability to turn impact into movement. Stillness is not withdrawal. It is the highest form of adaptation. It holds. It absorbs. It creates order from contact. The Stoic's composure under adversity is not passivity. It is the still center that keeps everything functional while storms unfold around him. He continues to act, but never reacts. His strength is not loud. It is the quiet capacity to remain exact under distortion. When life applies pressure, he becomes smaller, sharper, denser, reduced to essence, refined by necessity. Stillness in him is not idle, it is generative. From it, new systems are built, new understandings formed. He creates from the silence that others collapse in. When others lose direction, he begins construction. His mind, trained in discipline, translates adversity into action without hesitation. This is creative stillness, a mind so controlled it can use resistance as resource. The Stoic turns pain into architecture, confusion into order, loss into foundation. His stillness is movement slowed to perfection. In chaos, it designs. In pressure, it clarifies. In hardship, it creates. Every test deepens his control. Every blow polishes his understanding. Adversity does not interrupt his path. It completes it. The world can change, collapse, or rage, but the Stoic remains the constant, building in silence, creating through calm, transforming struggle into structure until mastery itself becomes unbreakable. Mastery does not end when control is achieved. It begins again in silence, in the work that continues without audience, without conclusion. The Stoic understands that life is not a project to be finished, but a craft to be practiced. Each day is another surface to refine, another edge to sharpen, another motion to perfect. The work is endless, and that is what makes it sacred. Simplicity is not the absence of ambition, it is ambition purified. The Stoic does not reject complexity because he cannot bear it. He dissolves it because clarity demands it. Every layer removed reveals a cleaner structure underneath. Every discarded excess strengthens the foundation. Through this subtraction, mastery becomes visible. What remains is essential, nothing ornamental, nothing wasted. The eternal craft is the art of returning to what matters. The Stoic does not seek novelty, he seeks precision. He repeats the same motions, rising early, writing, reflecting, acting with care. And through these repetitions, depth accumulates. Routine is not confinement, it is refinement. It is how the mind polishes its edge until even the smallest gesture carries authority. A simple life is not a small one, it is an ordered one. To live simply is to live without confusion, to know what must be done and to do it fully. The Stoic does not need constant change to feel alive. He finds vitality in constancy. His satisfaction comes from mastery of process, not pursuit of novelty. When others chase movement, he perfects stillness in motion. In the Stoic's craft, attention is his tool. Every act, however minor, is executed as if it were his only task. There is no division between importance and insignificance, because each action expresses discipline. To sweep a floor, to plan a decision, to comfort a friend, all are forms of construction. The integrity with which they are performed determines the architecture of the soul. Through simplicity, the Stoic builds durability. Complexity fractures under stress. Simplicity endures. His systems are light and strong because nothing unnecessary remains. He lives by principle rather than preference, by rhythm rather than impulse. When pressure rises, his structure does not collapse. It flexes cleanly and returns to form. His life has been engineered to withstand itself. The eternal craft demands constant correction. Precision fades when neglected. The Stoic maintains awareness like a craftsman maintains his tools, sharpening, cleaning, adjusting with patience. He does not judge imperfection, he refines it. Mistakes are raw material, not failures. The discipline is in returning to balance without frustration, without haste. Simplicity gives him access to presence. When life is stripped of noise, awareness expands. He begins to notice detail, the tone of his breath, the weight of his steps, the silence between sounds. In this awareness, calm strengthens. He no longer needs escape from the moment because the moment itself is complete. Simplicity restores fullness to ordinary time. The Stoic does not pursue legacy, he pursues clarity. He knows that what endures is not remembered noise, but the quiet integrity of work done well. A stone perfectly placed lasts longer than a speech delivered loudly. He crafts his life like architecture, functional, enduring, aligned with proportion and purpose. His days are his monuments, and they require no name engraved upon them. To practice the eternal craft is to understand that mastery has no final stage. There is always more to remove, more to refine, more to align. The Stoic takes satisfaction, not in completion, but in continuation. He measures success by the cleanliness of his focus and the steadiness of his will. In a world obsessed with spectacle, he chooses precision. In a world chasing excess, he chooses proportion. This choice repeats endlessly, and through it, he achieves permanence. Simplicity is strength disguised as stillness. It requires restraint to leave things unadorned, discipline to live without excess, courage to remain unshaken in the quiet. The Stoic's simplicity is not poverty of experience, it is wealth of awareness. He does not need to possess much because he experiences deeply. He does not need to declare mastery because he lives it invisibly. The eternal craft is life practiced as refinement. It is the daily act of shaping self and world into coherence. It is mastery without audience, progress without noise, creation without pride. The Stoic does not wait for perfection. He works toward it endlessly, knowing he will never reach it, and finding peace in that pursuit. His craft is not a performance, it is his nature. His simplicity is not retreat, it is precision. His discipline is not burden, it is liberation. Through the art of less, he becomes whole. The Stoic does not fear death, he studies it. He treats it as a principle of nature, as constant and neutral as gravity. To live with the awareness of mortality is to see life without distortion. The presence of death strips everything false from the mind. What remains is focus, the discipline to act, the humility to accept, the clarity to live with proportion. The Stoic understands that what ends defines the value of what continues. To think often of death is not to invite despair, but to invite precision. Each decision becomes cleaner when measured against the truth that time is finite. Trivial desires fall away. Essential work comes forward. The Stoic does not chase more years. He refines the ones he has. He knows that a short life lived with discipline outweighs a long one squandered in distraction. Mortality is not a countdown, it is calibration. The knowledge of death is the final structure that gives every act meaning. The Stoic wakes each day with the understanding that it could be his last, and that awareness makes his attention sharper, his speech cleaner, his patience deeper. He does not rush, but he does not delay. He moves through the hours as if each were a complete cycle, beginning, middle, and end contained in one motion. Through this awareness, he lives many lives inside one. Mortality refines endurance. When the Stoic faces hardship, he no longer asks why it happened. He asks how to use it before it disappears. Pain, joy, fatigue, creation, all are temporary, and that temporariness gives them their purity. He meets each state as passing weather. He does not cling, he does not resist. He participates fully and releases fully. Death becomes the reminder that release is a skill practiced daily, not a single event at the end. To live with mortality in view is to live without waste. The Stoic does not fill time, he shapes it. Every action becomes a deliberate stroke across the surface of impermanence. His discipline ensures that his energy is never scattered, that his attention remains on what matters most. Work done with care, words spoken with weight, and silence held with purpose. Through this restraint, he becomes timeless within the limited frame he occupies. The discipline that outlives death is the refinement of being itself. The Stoic does not try to be remembered, he tries to be exact. He knows that what is remembered fades, but what is done well remains embedded in the fabric of order. His impact is quiet but continuous, passed through the quality of his actions, the steadiness of his example. He does not write his name into history, he writes precision into the present. Continuation is the answer to mortality. The Stoic accepts that the body ends, but the rhythm of his discipline does not. Every act of control, every moment of clarity, every repetition of effort extends beyond him through those it steadies. His life becomes a relay of order. The energy of calm passed forward, not as memory, but as pattern. To live this way is to transform death from interruption into transition. The Stoic treats repetition as immortality in motion. He does not seek eternity in myth, but in mastery. As long as order is created, as long as calm is practiced, as long as wisdom is lived, the essence continues. He does not need to exist for his discipline to persist. What he refines becomes part of the world's structure, invisible, continuous, enduring through the actions of others. Mortality humbles him, but it does not weaken him. It gives weight to his composure and substance to his silence. The end makes his beginning constant. The Stoic moves through life knowing that each day completes itself, that nothing is owed, nothing is guaranteed, and therefore everything is valuable. He carries death like a compass, always pointing him back to alignment. His calm is not denial, it is reverence. His acceptance is not surrender, it is clarity. Through mortality, he learns continuation. Through continuation, he becomes eternal in discipline. The Stoic sees existence as structure. Everything has proportion, motion balanced by rest, gain balanced by loss, creation balanced by decay. Life itself functions as an equation of equilibrium. To live well is to move in harmony with this order, to measure thought and action so they fit within the geometry of reality. The Stoic's discipline is not resistance to nature, it is alignment with its precision. Every decision carries weight. Every excess disturbs symmetry. The Stoic studies this constant exchange and learns to act as an architect of balance. He trims emotion where it overextends, reinforces judgment where it weakens, and aligns will with principle so that his life holds shape under pressure. He builds himself as nature builds, through proportion and correction. His calm is not absence of tension. It is tension mastered through exact relation between effort and restraint. Balance is not stillness. It is motion contained by form. The Stoic maintains movement without collapse because he respects proportion. When the world sways, he adjusts quietly, not by force but by geometry, finding the line that holds weight evenly between what can and cannot be controlled. This is composure made structural, a form of internal engineering that allows stability under changing conditions. The geometry of existence requires awareness of limit. Nothing in nature expands forever. Every cycle has its return, every growth its reduction. The Stoic studies this pattern and models himself accordingly. He does not pursue infinite expansion. He seeks sustainable alignment. His growth is measured, his ambition proportioned. In this restraint lies endurance, the strength that survives because it fits the design it inhabits. The disciplined life mirrors architecture. Thought becomes blueprint, action becomes foundation, repetition becomes reinforcement. Each day is construction, each correction, a recalibration of symmetry. When he falters, he does not collapse the structure in frustration. He rebuilds with precision. This patience is what gives his order permanence. Buildings fall when neglected. The Stoic inspects his own walls daily. Harmony for him is not an ideal state, it is an active process. It must be maintained through adjustment. He measures himself against truth as a craftsman measures stone, not to judge, but to ensure fit. Where imbalance appears, correction follows without emotion. The aim is not comfort, but coherence. Through years of practice, the Stoic begins to perceive this architecture beyond himself. He sees the same symmetry in the rise and fall of seasons, in the rhythm of tides, in the alternating breath of expansion and contraction that governs all things. His discipline is not a separate force, it is part of the design. He maintains order within because it reflects the order without. The geometry of life has one law. Balance sustains itself only through awareness. The Stoic's calm is this awareness made permanent. He does not fix the world, he aligns with it. His stillness is participation in universal proportion. His restraint echoes gravity. His endurance mirrors orbit. He does not impose design, he uncovers it through discipline. When others scatter in emotion, he remains precise because he lives by structure, not sensation. To master balance is to become invisible within it. The Stoic does not stand apart from the world he understands. He dissolves into its rhythm. His presence no longer interrupts the pattern, it completes it. His life becomes architecture in motion, proportion expressed as conduct, geometry made flesh. Through this alignment, the Stoic does not transcend the world. He becomes its perfect reflection. Mastery, once complete within, begins to communicate itself without intention. The Stoic does not instruct others through declaration. He demonstrates by existence. His steadiness becomes the message, his composure the method. Those around him adjust unconsciously to his rhythm. They find themselves speaking slower, breathing deeper, reacting less. His calm alters the atmosphere without demand. This is how order spreads, not by command, but by quiet coherence. The Stoic has no desire to teach. He refines himself and allows others to draw what they can from the result. Advice spoken too soon weakens its strength. Presence held consistently strengthens it. He understands that the most enduring influence is behavioral gravity, a field of control so stable that it steadies everything near it. This is the transmission of mastery, the translation of discipline into invisible guidance. People remember words briefly, but remember composure indefinitely. They may not recall what was said, but they feel what was embodied. The Stoic's restraint during tension, his fairness in decision, his patience in confusion, these become quiet lessons. They teach without naming, they correct without confronting. His silence often resolves more than speech ever could. In his restraint, others recognize scale. In his steadiness, they recognize measure. This influence cannot be performed, it must be lived. The Stoic does not attempt to appear wise or calm. Pretension fractures equilibrium. His authority arises naturally from integrity. Because his inner architecture is aligned, his external conduct follows proportion. He creates balance simply by existing within it. True mastery communicates through consistency. The Stoic's reliability becomes a form of leadership, steady rhythm that others instinctively follow. He does not direct, he exemplifies. When chaos enters a room, his unchanging tone redirects it. When emotion overtakes reason, his presence restores scale. His influence works not through correction, but through calibration. This quiet transmission extends beyond human interaction. It reaches into the environment. His workspace reflects his mind, organized, purposeful, free of excess. His habits create rhythm in those who observe them. Discipline practiced silently becomes shared order. Without plan or persuasion, the Stoic shapes the spaces around him into coherence. He understands that example is the most honest form of teaching. Words can be repeated without belief, but conduct cannot. He relies on demonstration because demonstration cannot lie. Others trust his steadiness because it never seeks attention. They learn by reflection, not instruction. His consistency becomes permission for others to become consistent. Influence gained this way requires no maintenance. It persists even when he is absent. Those who have felt his balance begin to carry a trace of it. They recall his composure during their own turmoil, his calm during their own haste. The transmission continues, quiet, unclaimed, effective. This is legacy without possession, leadership without hierarchy, guidance without demand. The Stoic never seeks followers. Influence is a byproduct of integrity. He remains focused on his craft, refining self until refinement radiates outward. Each act done precisely contributes to a wider field of order. His discipline becomes language, his silence becomes direction. The world adjusts to his steadiness because steadiness is what the world lacks. Mastery, when real, no longer needs recognition to prove its weight. It simply works. The Stoic's presence resolves tension, restores proportion, and renews control wherever it reaches. This is power at its cleanest. No force, no display, only the silent transmission of order through the medium of being. The Stoic moves through a world dense with noise. Information multiplies faster than reflection can process it. Opinions compete for attention. Urgency replaces purpose. Yet he walks through this current untouched. His composure is not escape, but participation without surrender. He operates within the system while remaining outside its chaos. His presence is his protest. Calm against acceleration, precision against distraction. He no longer needs silence around him to maintain it within. He has trained his attention until it obeys without effort. The modern world demands reaction. He answers with observation. He reads without haste, speaks with economy, acts with clarity. Every choice filters through discipline before expression. The more chaotic the environment becomes, the sharper his control grows. Noise becomes a mirror in which his order proves itself. The Stoic's presence is not withdrawal, it is refined engagement. He navigates the same pressures others do, technology, expectation, constant motion, yet his rhythm remains deliberate. He pauses before responding, he reduces before adding, he corrects before expanding. Each pause becomes a point of power, each moment of restraint, a reclamation of focus. His calm is the structure through which he conducts complexity. In this age, silence is strength. Those who cannot stop consuming lose direction. The Stoic consumes selectively. He studies what deserves thought and ignores what drains it. His discipline is his filter. Every input either strengthens or weakens composure. He allows only what aligns with order. This selection builds clarity that others mistake for detachment. It is not indifference, it is design. Presence is his final discipline. He lives without projection, without anticipation. Each task, conversation, and motion receives full attention. He does not look ahead for satisfaction or behind for validation. He remains within the act itself. In a distracted world, this level of attention appears radical. The Stoic practices it not to stand out, but to stay intact. The world moves quickly. He moves correctly. Stillness is no longer separation from the world, it is mastery within it. His calm is an axis around which the noise turns. His stillness carries momentum, not of speed, but of stability. He becomes the fixed point others orient by. The faster the world spins, the more essential the steady center becomes. This is where his training finds purpose. Not in retreat, but in quiet command of presence. He does not condemn the world's pace. He simply refuses to let it dictate his depth. His focus is his autonomy. He writes when others scroll, thinks when others speak, observes when others react. His restraint becomes a shield against fragmentation. The modern flood cannot drown a disciplined mind. It only reveals its boundaries. The Stoic treats technology, communication and ambition as neutral forces, tools, not masters. He uses them with precision, never possession. His phone does not own his attention. His time is not rented to algorithms. His schedule reflects principle, not trend. Through this discipline, he remains modern without being consumed by modernity. His serenity is proof that control is still possible. As noise expands, silence becomes rare currency. The Stoic guards it carefully. He withdraws not to avoid others, but to preserve coherence. In solitude, he repairs what the day disperses. His stillness at night is as deliberate as his action by day. Each complements the other, one for building, one for balancing. The alternation itself is discipline in motion. Presence, at its highest form, is timelessness. The Stoic lives fully in moments that others overlook. Waiting becomes reflection, work becomes meditation, even fatigue becomes signal. Nothing escapes attention, because attention itself has become his craft. The world continues its noise, but he remains whole within it, not against it, not above it, but through it. The final proof of mastery is continuity. The Stoic's stillness persists regardless of circumstance. Whether in noise or silence, success or collapse, solitude or crowd, he remains composed. The external world no longer defines the internal one. His presence is self-contained, self-sustaining, self-measured. In an age where attention is divided endlessly, his unity becomes revolutionary. This is the final discipline, the power to remain entire while the world fragments around him. The discipline continues long after the man disappears. What he built in himself does not end. It transfers quietly into the structure of life around him. His actions, performed with precision, become part of a larger rhythm that persists. Order outlives origin. The Stoic's legacy is not a monument or memory. It is the continuation of conduct, the invisible endurance of proportion. Wherever his influence reached, balance remains. He understands that mastery was never a destination, but a rhythm to be maintained. Each morning repeats the same act, the first breath of awareness, the same motion of intention, the same choice to direct thought rather than drift. The circle of practice has no endpoint. What appears repetition to the untrained is revelation to him. Every cycle brings refinement. Every small return to order deepens control. His life moves in quiet loops, not as confinement, but as continuity. In this rhythm, calm becomes light. The Stoic does not seek to shine. Illumination occurs naturally when clarity is complete. His composure brightens the spaces he occupies without intention. It guides those who cross his path, steadies what surrounds him, and brings precision to what was disordered. This light does not fade because it is not performance. It is discipline made visible. He no longer separates beginning from ending, success from struggle, presence from silence. Everything folds into one motion, simple, exact, complete. The Stoic walks forward without ceremony, his steps carrying the same rhythm as his breath. Nothing remains to prove, nothing remains to hold. The work continues quietly, endlessly, perfectly aligned with the order he has become. This is the conclusion without closure, discipline alive beyond the moment. A life measured, a rhythm sustained, a calm that endures. The Stoic remains, not as memory, but as movement, silent, steady, and whole.